Hi, and welcome to Leap. My name is Susan Casey. I'm a mental health therapist, author, and grief and loss expert. If you are on your own grief journey, you've landed in the right place. Here, we'll explore every aspect of death, dying, and the grief and loss journey. Each week, we'll bring you inspiring and transformational stories to help expand your perspective on life, death, and the grieving process, and to remind you that you're never alone. So thank you for taking our hand and leaping with us into light and healing. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Leap. Thank you so much for tuning in. I always appreciate you taking the time, and always my deepest prayer is that these episodes are bringing you some comfort and resources as you work through your own grief journey. This week, we have a special guest, Adam Rabinovich. And if I have botched that last name, Adam, you can let us know. Adam is the executive director of a very special nonprofit organization called COPE, and it is an acronym for Connecting Our Past Eternally. And it's a nonprofit grief and healing organization dedicated to helping parents and families living with the loss of a child. Previously, Adam was the executive director of GOAL, which was a nonprofit educational program that provides children from underserved communities with the resources to help them get the most out of their education. Adam also serves on the board of Babies and Mothers Alive, a non-governmental organization of social enterprise dedicating to improving the lives of children and families in East Africa. And he's also the father of a 16-year-old daughter. We are going to be talking about Adam's personal journey of what brought him to this landscape of grief and loss. And then we'll be talking more specifically about the beautiful resources of COPE and what they are offering people in this world. So Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Susan, for having me and giving me the opportunity to share on behalf of the many families who count on COPE for grief and healing, and to share their stories and a bit of my own, as you said, my journey with the Leap audience. So appreciate you.
Thank you. So let's jump right in. You and I have had a little bit of time to talk before we actually started the show. And so I would love for you just to give us that point of entry into the grief and loss world when you were very young and your own personal story.
Yes, thank you for asking about my family, because over the last 4 years, we're recording now in the late summer of 2022, and I've been working to support families living with the loss of a child now for a number of years, and realizing in my adult life now that my family is in the same club that no one wants to belong to, the club living with the loss of a child. And my parents in the 1970s, after having me, a healthy baby, had my sister Marnit, who was born ill and died before the age of two. My younger brother and sister never got to meet her. And my parents and I have never really talked too much about Marnit in our life. It's only in the last few years as I've gotten to know so many other parents, siblings, teens, kids, and families living with loss that we've opened some conversation starters in my family. So as I've gotten to know the COPE Network and so many amazing and resilient people in this club that no one wants to belong to, it's giving me and I have to believe my parents and family a new level of meaning and purpose, certainly in the work that I do. And I'm honored and humbled to share the stories that I've come across with the families that we support.
Thank you, Adam. So I'm curious, now that you are an adult and looking back through the eyes of your childhood, do you recognize how the death of your sister, do you feel that it impacted your family in a way that's more tangible and noticeable now that you're doing this work? Do you know what I mean by that? I'm not sure that's a clear question.
It's a great question. It's crystal clear, and I've been reflecting a lot on it, and I'll use some language which has resonated for me. It may hit or miss with some other people, but I realize that, speaking for myself, I'm a bereaved sibling, and it took me a couple of years in the field to look up what does bereaved actually mean. I think the definition corresponded to bereft. So paraphrasing Webster's dictionary, absent, not having the connection to. So I have not had a physical life journey connection with my sister Marnit, who died. I don't consider myself a grieving sibling because I was a young kid. I have some vague, vivid memories of playing peekaboo with my sister when I was four. She was not even two. But grief and grieving for her has not been part of my journey. So I realize that I have, at least in my relationship with my sister, a unique to me experience. Having said that, as I've gotten to know so many siblings and now parents and others who are living with loss, I hear from them that at different points in their grief journey, time and healing being two major components, that dynamic of bereavement and grief can interplay. And one of the things I've learned from my colleagues, and for full disclosure for your audience, I'm not a clinician. I'm not a clinical professional. At COPE, we have a whole team of amazing clinicians. I'm sure we'll talk more about them and the work they do. But for many years, the steps or ladders of grief is something that individuals and families reflected on. And after more data and more observation and more research, many people observe that grief is more even like an ocean in waves, that it comes and flows. It's not necessarily linear like steps in a ladder. So for my family, I think that's true in the case. And I keep hearing and seeing from so many families that grief ebbs and flows and the bereavement never leaves.
Yeah, I often compare it to, you know, trying to describe grief is like sticking your finger in a pool and trying to point out water. It's everywhere. It surrounds you. You know, it's not tangible, right? Because it infiltrates all areas of our life, the way we think, the way we view the world. The reason I asked the question, and I think I may have mentioned to you this the very first time you and I had the opportunity to speak, I used to listen to this really beautiful podcast by Cheryl Strayed and Steve Allman called Dear Sugars, and they had a series on there called The Empty Chair, and it was very specific to people who had lost a sibling, either when they were very young and have no memory, or they were not even alive when their sibling died, but how that loss impacts a family, right? Because we know that it impacted your parents and your family, they didn't talk about it, right? And then there are other families where they talk about it all the time. So, you know, and of course, there is no right or wrong way. It is just the way different families deal with grief and loss. And the reason I asked you that question, I was curious, you know, now, like I said, now that you're in this work, if you've ever had these conversations about that experience for your parents, or if it's something that, are your parents still living? Sorry, yes, I didn't even ask that question. So are these conversations that you've had with your parents about what that was like for them, and how that did impact them as they were raising their children, et cetera?
Yes, and recently, and baby steps, no pun intended. So I won't overstate the depth or extent that we've been having those conversations, but certainly over recent years, we've started to, and in some cases, I've taken the lead on those to talk a little bit more. I will quote, we hosted at COPE a recent workshop, and we're going to be talking hopefully about all of our programs, including our healing workshops. And so I'll borrow the title from one of our recent facilitators, that it's never too late to grieve. And so I don't feel any hesitation 40 years on to talk about Marnit, even when it sometimes feels like the first time that we're doing it. So no, thank you for asking. And one thing I've gotten crystal clear from my parents is that even if they had the time, interest, capacity, because my brother and sister came along, and I don't know if they had the energy to reach out for support, but there was nothing like COPE for them 40 years ago in the suburbs of New York where they were living and grieving. So again, it's an honor and humbling to be able to lead an organization that's helping people like my parents day in and day out.
Thank you. That's a beautiful segue, because my listeners know that I ran bereavement groups for many years at the Center for Grieving Children, which is a little bit misleading, because really it's, you know, it's everywhere from a 3-year-old to 103-year-old, the different groups that they offer. When the Center for Grieving Children, it came about from a man whose sister died and he had to raise the 9-year-old daughter and there was no place available. And so we know we've got beautiful resources around the country now, still too few as far as I am concerned. But I would love for us to start talking about COPE. And please tell us Please tell us where COPE is, how it started. I have read the story of COPE and the founder, but let's start from the very beginning around how COPE was even born.
Sure. And I appreciate having the opportunity to chart a path. So again, listeners in your audience knows who we are, that we're here. We're going to talk about where here is, especially now in 2022 when we're recording, hopefully coming out of a pandemic and certainly social distancing, and where we're going and how people can connect for support and also to pay it forward. COPE goes back as a vision to the 1990s, when our founder, Lily Julian, living with the loss of her 20-year-old daughter, Michelle, had a visit from Michelle in a dream. And Michelle said to her, essentially, that she, Michelle, was okay. But it was the others, the ones who were left here on this plane, aren't okay. And that Lily needed to reach out to others and help each other. So that was the catalyst and the original origin of the network, where Lily and her eventually her co-founders of COPE came together in somewhat informal ways in their kitchens and in their living rooms and connecting with other parents and family members in this club that no one wants to belong to, leaning on each other, supporting each other, and building a network of support. And just a few years later, they recognized clearly that there was more and more need and more demand and more that could be done. So the organization, the corporation, originally a nonprofit trust for your nonprofit listeners, was started in 1999. Here we are 23 years later in 2022, where we continue and have impacted thousands of family members across New York, where we are, across the country, and even across the world. We're going to talk more again about some of our methods and programs and support services on how we help parents and families. Today, to answer your question, and going forward, we're supporting folks both in person, which is primarily in the downstate New York area. For those of your New York listeners and folks who know the area, we're talking about Long Island and certainly New York City. So we have support that's offered in person. And taking the lessons from the pandemic and telemental health and online support, we've had a real increase in both demand and opportunity to support more families through modalities like Zoom and other technological tools. So we continue and will continue for the foreseeable future to support folks both in person, today again primarily in the downstate New York area, and online, where folks can join us from across New York State and even beyond.
That's fantastic. So when you say, so your online presence, these are for families all over the world, all over the country. And I mean, are you international at this point, or
We are. And again, I won't overstate it. So I'll share for your audience. And again, as we come out of the pandemic and social distancing, we're trying to meet people where they are, both in terms of geography, grief journey, and using technology. So COPE offers primarily three critical programs and support services for family members. One of the hearts, I'll say we have multiple hearts beating to help family members, are our peer support groups, each of which have a licensed clinical facilitator. I mentioned earlier, I'm certainly not a clinician. We do have on our team an amazing and diverse staff of clinicians. These are social workers, psychologists, behavioral health professionals, who are not providing, in this case, direct therapy, but they're facilitating peer support. So let me clarify even a little further. We offer a host of parent support groups. So those are for parents living with the loss of a child, usually older children and adult children. We also have a support group separate from that for bereaved siblings living with the loss of an adult brother or sister. And we also have a teen support group for kids 16 to 19, so older teens living with the loss of a loved one. Those support groups, again, each of which has a licensed clinician facilitating the support, meet on a regular basis. And we offer those groups both in person in downstate New York and online. And folks who are interested in learning more can connect with us through our website at copefoundation.org.
So thank you for that, Adam. It sounds like that you offer just a myriad of different resources and support. And I know one question I do want to ask, is there a cost associated to families for the different levels of support that are offered through COPE?
Oh, great question. Thank you for asking. The short answer is no. We are a nonprofit organization. So all of our support groups, our healing workshops, which I'll talk about in a little bit. And we also offer a camp and retreat for kids and their parents and caregivers. All of those are free of charge. And so the way that we sustain the work that we do so that we can be there not only for the families that need us today, but those that inevitably will need us tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, is we rely on the investment in philanthropy of donors, individual donors and corporations and foundations. So for the most part, all of our programs and services are free of charge. And we found that so many family members who lean on us and rely on the COPE programs and support do invest in COPE to help others. And for many of them, I hear in one way or another that the next level or layer of their own healing in their grief journey is helping others. And one way people do that is through their charitable donations, their volunteering time and talent, getting involved in the organization itself to help us sustain. And so that's that paying it forward. And we see again and again, people sign up, raise their hands and say, how can I help others in this club that no one wants to belong to?
I'm sure questions that are out there for people who will access the resources, you know, group work, and at least I know for the Center for Grieving Children, were ongoing until families felt like they were ready to leave. So that could mean that families were there for 2 months to 4 years. So these support groups that you offer, how is their wait list? Is there, you know, is it like a certain period of time? By the way, for listeners, we will have all of these links available in our show notes. So you don't have, if you're in the car listening, you don't have to take notes. We'll have everything available. But can you speak a little bit more specifically around those kinds of questions? You know, like how do they get into one of these groups? Is there a wait list, et cetera?
Absolutely. The first thing that folks need to know is that we're here and that they're not alone. And if COPE is a good fit for them at any given point in their grief journey, we're here. And if we're not a great fit, we want to make sure that we can refer and provide other healing resources that people can take advantage of. So I'll just repeat, and it may come up one or two times again before the end of our conversation, is that no one should grieve alone. Reach out. We're here and we can help and support you. On our website, which is copefoundation.org, there's a straightforward and hopefully intuitive intake form that anyone who's interested in getting involved and joining a support group can fill out with some basic information about them and the loved one that they lost. And then we will connect them with one of our group support facilitators. Some of the support groups that we offer are for newly bereaved parents or siblings. So those would be generally parents or siblings living in the first year of the loss of a child or a brother or sister. And then we have other groups that are open, and some of the groups have been more or less intact with the same group members for 3 or even more years. So we're really designing programs and support groups to meet people where they're at. Once the intake form is completed, they're welcome to join a group. We have certainly seen an increase in demand, not only due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but also increases in deaths by fentanyl overdose, deaths by suicide. So many drivers are increasing demand. There's no one group or organization that can support everyone. So again, partnerships and collaboration and referrals are crucial. But do reach out to COPE Foundation. And we can connect you with support. I also just want to take the opportunity to mention to your audience, in addition to our support groups, COPE offers on a regular basis a series of healing workshops of all kinds. These are currently being offered online. And just to give a sampling of some of the recent, in the last year or two, kinds of healing workshops that we've offered, everything from yoga online to art therapy online, drama therapy online, again, I stress. So people from New York, from Maine, from Indiana, from India can join and do join online for healing. We had distant Reiki sessions recently where a Reiki practitioner, if your audience is familiar with the practice, was able to provide healing online through Reiki. Coming up, we're going to have conversations about sibling and family loss. So stay connected through CopeFoundation.org, CopeFoundation.org for our healing workshops, which are open to all. You don't have to be a New Yorker to join a workshop. You do need to be a New Yorker to join one of our peer support groups. And that's only because of our licensed clinicians being licensed in the state of New York.
Sure, that makes sense. So, you know, a couple of things. I always try to anticipate questions that people are thinking. I know that when I was at the Center for Grieving Children, that one, we really recommended that people wait at least 4 months before they join a support group. There is so much shock that happens at the initial loss. And of course, we're talking about the loss of a child, which is, you know, what we call the biggie. Do you guys have a recommendation? When you said you meet people with where they're at, do you have any kind of a recommendation of when people should reach out and start a support group?
When they're ready for that lifeline. So I've mentioned a few minutes ago about the newly bereaved group support, which is something we've mindfully and thoughtfully put some investment in recent years to really carve out those special spaces for people living in that first year of loss. And as you say, many people are reaching out or connecting after a few months after the loss. And when it comes to, I guess, and I know I'm talking to a professional here, so-called complicated or prolonged grief or traumatic grief, we want to be mindful of that as well. So making the best placement, the right placement at the right time as best we can. So again, developing programs and support systems where COPE can directly help families when we're a good fit. And if it's not the right fit at a certain point or for a certain person, we want to make sure that we can navigate and help them find the right support at any given moment in their journey.
Great. Thank you. And I think another question that I have that comes up very frequently, there are people that really need help. I know sometimes going to a therapist that is not someone who specializes in grief and loss can oftentimes leave people feeling more alone. This is something I've heard over and over throughout the years. So they go to one, you know, they'll go to one therapeutic appointment and it's not what they thought and they never go back. And, you know, and I always say that when someone's grieving, they don't necessarily need a therapist. They're sad, right? But then when the grief really becomes more complex and it is really debilitating them over a longer period of time, they may want to seek professional help. My question to you is, for people who are not interested in joining a group, is there anything available from COPE that is designed to be more one-on-one, or referrals for more one-on-one support?
Thank you so much for asking. I do want to make sure that your listeners know that COPE offers a volunteer manned and womaned phone line during the week where other bereaved parents and siblings who are also trained volunteers are available to speak by phone. And this is not a crisis hotline. We can call it a warm line for clarity's sake. So this is not a crisis line. This is an empathetic and understanding listener who can also point to some resources. So we're calling it the COPE line to be succinct. And your listeners can find out more information on our website, how to call and connect with an empathetic bereaved parent or sibling, a volunteer for some one-on-one conversation.
That's amazing. That really touched me. I could feel that's a very special service that COPE offers. I've not heard about that in the past, honestly, where you have volunteers that are available to have a conversation. You don't need to be suicidal. You know, you're sad and you need somebody to talk to who understands. That is a special service.
So that's exactly right. Yes, not a crisis line, but certainly someone to understand. It's a local call, not a 1-800. It's 516-364-COPE, C-O-P-E.
Can you say that one more time for people who are furiously writing that number down?
You'll be sharing all these resources with your listeners as well. Area code 516-364-COPE, COPE.
You guys, if you're hearing this and you know somebody who can use it, please pass on this information. I think, you know, in this field of grief and loss, we hear so many different things where people feel like they're going insane. And if you're trying to talk to somebody, in your world who doesn't understand grief or has never experienced grief, it's really difficult to understand that feeling of going insane. We're not going insane. It feels that way because of this tremendous grief that we're carrying after a loss and not knowing where. And some people are like, I don't need a therapist, right? I'm sad. I lost my child, or I lost my brother, or I lost my sister, or whatever it is. And I think, you know, there's always been stigma in the world of mental health of reaching out for help. And, you know, in the grief and loss world, I don't think it's any different. I think sometimes people feel weak if they're not able to manage it on their own. And I just cannot, I can never repeat it or say it enough that when we are sad, when we are dealing with a crisis in our life of losing somebody that we love, please know that there are resources out there for you. And you don't, like you said at the very beginning, Adam, you don't have to grieve alone, and you don't have to grieve in a group if that's not your thing. So I can't say it enough. Talk about some other resources that are available on COPE. You've got articles and things as well. Is that right? And books that you recommend and things like that for people if they don't necessarily want to talk to somebody.
Absolutely. And we keep refreshing those resources, and listeners to the Leap podcast are welcome to share resources that have been valuable for them. So for anyone who may want to reach out for some support, and this can be 24 hours, so live and updated on our website at copefoundation.org, our recommended articles, healing tips, books that folks can dive into that we recommend and have been known to really be helpful in healing for so many people. We have a newsletter that comes out monthly, which includes columns and reflections written by bereaved parents, siblings, along with professional tips and resources. And again, these are available for free on our website, copefoundation.org. And there, people can get involved in the COPE network and support each other. So a lot of resources there. And by sending an email to info@copefoundation.org, we can stay connected and share new resources as they come along. Join our mailing list and stay connected.
Okay, now I want to talk about the camp, because I know that we do have a couple of camps in Maine that are very specific to different types of loss, whether it's loss of a parent or losing somebody by suicide. So can you please talk about your camp and what goes on? It's annual, I know that, right? And it's a weekend, I think you said. So talk to us about ages and what happens in this camp. And I'm sure that you also have a resource, a link on your website of how they sign up and what they have to do. But I'd love for you just to talk a little bit about the actual camp.
Absolutely. So again, we're recording and having this conversation at the very end of August, early September 2022, where COPE just completed our 10th annual, our first decade of supporting children, teens, and their families through our Camp Erin, E-R-I-N-Y-C. So 10 years ago plus, we became proudly part of a network of Camp Erin's, hosted and supported by the ELUNA Network, E-L-U-N-A, which is a national network of camps, not only bereavement camps, and it's the largest network of national bereavement camps in the country, in North America. And these are for youth age 7 to 17, grieving the death of a significant person in their lives. So each summer, in our case, between 50 to 60 amazing, resilient kids and teens come together with volunteers, both clinical volunteers and supportive mentors, many of whom are former campers, I should mention as well. And it's a weekend filled with grief and healing support, as well as fun camp activities. For anyone who has attended or knows people who have attended a summer camp, maybe they've talked about rope courses and, of course, swimming and water sports. And it's a mix of supportive grief and healing plus real get out and have a great summertime experience. This is free to attend. Folks can connect to Camp Erin NYC through our website, copefoundation.org. There are Camp Erins across the country, so you can find more at elunanetwork.org, E-L-U-N-A bereavementnetwork.org. And then, as you mentioned, Susan, there are other kinds of camps and other bereavement camps in addition to the Camp Aaron Network. I just also want to mention about 6 years ago, in addition to the Camp for Kids and Teens, COPE introduced, and we continue to provide, a concurrent parent and caregiver retreat. So during this special weekend, the kids and teens are having their own grief and healing and camp experience, while their adult caregivers are having their own retreat and grief and healing experience. And we found that when they come back together after an amazing and intense 72 hours, each family now has new tools and a common language that they can carry forward in their individual and shared grief journey. So it's really a powerful way to support the entire family unit.
What happens with these families that have children under the age of 7?
So we can certainly and do connect families who have kids younger, as, for example, I was when I was 4 when my sister Marnit died. We have, again, on our website, and people can reach out, we have all kinds of connections and partnerships and referrals with organizations that can meet people where they're at any point in their grief journey, any age. And so if COPE can't help directly, we can certainly connect you with the right folks. So please do reach out.
I think I was thinking more specifically about, you know, if you've got a care, if you've got caregivers, you've got something. So this camp, right? It's a whole weekend. So these caregivers have something that they can attend, and these children are going to camp. Is there any kind of, you know, babysitting or daycare or anything that can happen for these families that may have younger children with, and they don't really have any place these children can go for a weekend? I think that's more my question.
Well, I appreciate you thinking out of the box. And again, as I mentioned with my family, when my brother and sister shortly came along, it's hard for parents, especially with young children, to find the time, energy, and capacity to reach out. So COPE does not currently offer any kind of on-site support or indirect support for younger kids while their family members are attending our camp and parent care and caregiver retreat.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure just to answer some of these questions. Now let's talk about some of the feedback that you've received from families that have attended, that either attend your group work or go to your camp. I'd love to just give some nuggets if you have any. I know you read me a couple of beautiful affirmations or testimonials, I should say, not affirmations, from people who have attended your camp, for example.
Absolutely. And thank you for asking. I'll share a couple of very recent hot off the press reflections that were shared with us. One, just a couple of days before you and I are talking, we received some glowing and poignant feedback from one of the moms, a parent who had a camper at our most recent Camp Aaron NYC. And mom also participated and really got a lot out of the retreat. So I'll share her words with your audience. She says, it was a bittersweet experience, but for the first time, something wasn't bittersweet. And that was our time shared this weekend. She has such a different feeling in her heart now after this experience, and her kids sense it also. We shared something so special, and it was beyond wonderful to be all together. Her kids are noticeably calmer, happier, and they're already making small adjustments in their relationship together. That's just a few days after camp. Mom feels lighter, and she thinks her kids do too. So that says so much about what can be accomplished when people reach out, perhaps go out of their comfort zone, and take steps to support themselves and their families. And if I may, I'll share one other reflection that just came from a bereaved mom who has been in the COPE support groups and network for a number of years. She reached out and said, thank you very much. She and her husband are doing as well as can be. This past July, so July 2022, was the 4th year of their son's passing. They celebrated his life on that day. And in memory of him, they sent a donation to COPE. She then explained why. She said, COPE's done so much for them. And while they are coping on their own, they thank COPE, and I'm sure other organizations and resources, that they now have the skills to do so, and they'll never forget us. So that's an example of not only a mom and dad getting direct support, but also paying it forward to help through their financial generosity, other members in this club that no one wants to belong to. So that helps ensure that COPE can be there not only for the families that count on us today, but also those that will inevitably need us in the future.
Thank you. This has been wonderful. What about people who would like to volunteer for COPE?
Yes, we welcome and offer up meaningful opportunities. In other words, ways that people can give their time, talent, and energy, in addition to their philanthropic and financial donations, which are always welcome. So folks can connect through our website at copefoundation.org, and they'll find a tab on how to volunteer. And we'll make sure to match each volunteer or volunteer teams with either shorter term or longer term volunteer opportunities. We're also always looking for new board members and committee members to help strategize and sustain the organization for maximum impact in the future. So if you're interested in any kinds of volunteer opportunities, please reach out and we can cultivate and create an opportunity that meets your own volunteer goals and journey and also helps COPE be there for the families that count on us.
Yeah. And going back, I can't seem to let go of this idea of having people that you can call if you just want to talk. Is that, what is that hotline? Is it 24 hours? Is it within a specific time period and time zones?
Yes. And thank you for asking, clarifying. And I'll just say again, this is not a hotline or a crisis line. We call it the COPE line, and it's a resource for grieving individuals who need some extra support. So these are volunteers who are trained to respond to each caller, and they can provide resources, referrals, or just be there to listen. The number is a local New York number, not a 1-800 number. So folks can dial 516-364-COPE or 364-2673. And we have volunteers currently weekdays from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Saturday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. So again, not a crisis line, not a hotline.
No, sorry, I called it a hotline. That's what I think of when I'm like,
not at all.
I need to talk to somebody.
I just want folks who need different kinds of support to know what's out there for them. So this is there for, as a warm line with warm, supportive, empathetic volunteers who are bereaved parents and siblings there on the other end of the line.
And so if they call, are they put into a queue on a sort of like waiting if there's nobody available?
Or that's how exactly does that work? Right. And we'll aim to get back to people as soon as possible. These are volunteers. They're giving their time, talent, and energy to be there for folks. Those were all New York Eastern Standard times that I mentioned. So
New York Eastern Standard. Perfect.
Exactly. If you reach out and don't get that warm voice right away, we'll do our best to get back to you as soon as possible.
So they can leave a message.
Absolutely.
Perfect. We really don't have very many shows that really are about some of the amazing resources that are out there and available to people who really need them and don't know where to look. It can be very overwhelming to start what I call start Googling, you know, and right. And you can sort of fall down this rabbit hole. So Adam, I just appreciate you so much coming here and telling us about COPE. I love the resources that are available to so many people that is not specific to New York residents. Is there anything else you would like to share that I've not asked you that you feel like is important for our listeners to know?
Well, you've asked great, insightful, probing questions and led and facilitated a conversation. So there's nothing that we haven't covered, but I will take the opportunity just to reiterate some of the common themes that you and I talked about. First and foremost is that no one listening and no one who's listening on behalf or in support of others who may be grieving and bereaved, no one should grieve alone. So do reach out to COPE, reach out to other resources locally that can help you. And take that step. You deserve it. You owe it to yourself and to your family. So we're here for you and no one should be alone in their grief. And the second point is that the next level of healing, which I mentioned a few minutes ago, for so many people, or the next layer of healing can be helping others. So if and when you're ready, get involved, join the COPE Network as a volunteer and a donor, join other networks in your area. And that help healing can come in so many ways and does come in so many ways. And paying it forward and helping others is just one tool that you can add to your own grief toolbox.
Thank you. I just feel like I need to punctuate that point of volunteering because I remember, well, as a therapist too, I know some of the best ways for people to get out of their own depression is to provide service to others. And I know that after the death of my brother, it was my grief therapist who told me about the Center for Grieving Children. And I remember thinking, how could I possibly help anyone else? I am so sad. So I had to do some of my own work first. And then when I felt ready, I went and I learned about the volunteer opportunities. And I can absolutely say for certain that volunteer work in some ways saved my life. And the family that I felt like I was being welcomed into this family, both with the volunteers and the families that came that understood. And just being with people who understood was so powerful and healing. So I want to put that out there to our listeners too. So Adam, thank you so much for being here with us today and sharing the incredible work that COPE is doing. And thank you, listeners. I hope today was really helpful and that you have learned something new about some of the support that is available either for yourself or for people that you know that are grieving. Please remember that all of the information and all of the links will be in our show notes. So thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you here next time. Bye for now. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. If you enjoyed this episode of Leap, please subscribe, share it with others, or leave a rating and review so others can benefit from this content. Be sure to check out the show notes for resources related to this episode. And to catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at susan.casey. If you have a transformational story to share on grief and loss, please email me at leapwithsusan@gmail.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.